Good evening and welcome to the 38th District Live Telephone Town Hall. My name is Lilia and I'll be moderating tonight's call. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We hope you will find this call informative. In a moment, I'll turn the phone over to State Representatives John McCoy and Mike Sells and Senator Nick Harper for some opening remarks. But first, I want to explain the format for tonight's call. If you'd like to ask a question, just press star 3 on your phone and you'll be connected with a staff person who will take your question and get you into the queue to speak directly with lawmakers. This telephone town hall is not a replacement for live town hall meetings, but it does provide another way for your representatives and senator to speak one-on-one with constituents and answer questions you may have. Please note that this is a live question and answer session. By pressing star 3 on your phone, you will have an opportunity to speak directly with your legislators. We want to get through as many of your questions as possible, so we have to limit participants to only one question each. Pressing star 3 right now is all you need to do to ask your question. Here's some information on your legislators. Representative John McCoy served in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years, retiring in 1981 with lots of training in computer operations and programming. He worked as a computer technician in the White House from 1982 to 85. John is active with the Native American Advisory Boards for the National and Snohomish County Boys and Girls Clubs and the Advisory Board for the Cascade Land Conservancy. John and his wife, Janie, have been married since 1965. They have 3 daughters and 9 grandchildren. Remember, press star 3 on your phone now to ask a question. Representative Mike Sells is a retired teacher and former Everett Education Association president. He taught elementary, middle, and high school students. Mike is serving as Secretary Treasurer of the Snohomish County Labor Council, an organization of 65 unions that represent 42,000 working people in Snohomish County. He served in the Central Washington University Board of Trustees and the Everett Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. Mike Sells and his wife, Gail, have 2 grown children. Remember, press star 3 on your phone right now if you have a question for your lawmakers. Lastly, Senator Nick Harper was sworn into office January 10, 2010. He got his BA in political science from the UW and his law degree from Seattle University, where he graduated cum laude. His legislative priorities include funding for schools and higher education, building a stronger economy, and improving transportation and transit infrastructure. Nick is a lifelong resident of Puget Sound. He grew up in Port Townsend and lives in Everett with his wife, Lacey, and their girl, June. Very cute girl, June. If you have questions for your legislators, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And now here they are, Representative John McCoy, Mike Sells, and Senator Harper. Gentlemen?
Good evening, this State Rep. John McCoy. I'm happy that you'll be able to join us this evening and so that we can answer some of your questions. We just passed cutoff day on Wednesday afternoon, and now we'll begin in earnest on budget discussions and listening to each other's bills from the Senate and the House. Okay.
This is Representative Mike Sells, and as Representative McCoy explained to you, we've just finished what is called a cutoff of policy bills, and we start into some of the harder stuff around the budget and what we need to do with education. It's going to be a difficult and tough session, but we're ready to go to work.
And this is Senator Nick Harper. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Look forward to your questions. In addition to what both Representative Sells and McCoy indicated, I think all three of us agree that our primary purpose down here is a couple-fold. One, it's to make sure that we get our economy, continue to get our economy back on track in the wake of this recession. We're working with businesses and families throughout our communities to try to help make that happen and reduce impediments where possible. And also, and probably most importantly, is to make sure that we address a lot of the funding issues that have strapped both our pre-K, our K through 12 education system, as well as our community colleges and colleges, to make sure that our students here in Washington have the tools that they need to be successful and to continue to fuel that economic engine. So thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to your questions.
Thank you so much. And remember, folks, please press star 3 on your keypad if you have a question for your lawmakers. And so first we're going to take Patricia's call. Hello, Patricia?
Yes.
Patricia
here.
Has a call about gun legislation. What's that?
Well,
what's your question?
My question is, what are all three of you going to do to get the gun legislation for registration for private sales back on the agenda again now that it's managed to slip through the open time? What can you guys do to get it back on track to get past this session? I think it's really important.
Thank you for your question. This is Senator Harper. I completely agree with you. I think you said it was Patricia.
Yes.
It's not off our agenda. I think all three of us co-sponsored legislation, in particular the background check bill that you just referred to. You saw that the House had some problems moving it this week, but it is very much still on our agenda. I think recent polling shows that nearly 80% of the state and over 70% of gun owners acknowledge that having a universal background check to make sure that those people who are buying guns are legally able to is an important issue, not only just for transparency and enforcement of our laws, but for public safety. And I think there's a swelling support out in the communities to this aid as well. And if we're not able to get a bill passed this session, which, again, I don't believe is off of the table, I think that there are many in the community that would like to see something go to the ballot so that the people of Washington really can speak up and those 79% that support this can be heard and we can move forward one way or another.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So now we're going to go with Trish, who has a question about getting people back to work. Let's see, Trish?
Yeah, I'm here. I'll keep this as brief as possible. Worked for the same company for 20 years. Was laid off. Been trying to find a job for the last 2 months. I look 8 hours a day. I don't have an ego. I'll do anything. I'll sweep floors. I have a master's degree and a business degree, 20 years of experience. I can't find a job anywhere. I don't know what to do. I'm going to be out on the streets in less than a month. And I'm not the only one, I know that. I help other people do their resumes and get back to work. But I'm asking you, what do we do? I don't qualify for any help. And I'm just asking you, what do we do? I don't know what to do. I try everything. I network. You know, I do what I'm supposed to do. But I don't know what else we can do. And I know I'm not the only one. I see it in the blogs. I see it on LinkedIn. And I see it in our economy all over the place. But I'm just asking, what are you guys doing to help us out? I know that there's incentives for companies to help people that are in the welfare system or for veterans. But there's a whole lot of other people like us who've been sustaining our economy for years that also need help.
Can I ask, this is Representative Sells, can I ask you what kind of work you do?
There's no back and forth, Mike.
She there still?
No.
Okay. Part of the problem of getting back the economy back to work is having the revenue here to have the kind of programs that will put people to work. For instance, a transportation budget, making sure that the building trades, which have 30 to 40%, and in some cases 50% unemployment, get back to work so that we're getting the economy spun up again. And until that happens, it's going to be very difficult. Public employment has been a large driver in keeping the economy from growing. And we're going to need the kind of revenue to pump that public employment up, whether that's buying teachers, whether that's buying roads. It's either one of those. And until that happens, we're going to continue to have a problem. I wish I had a quick and easy answer for you, but there are a lot of people who are opposed to doing anything to grow the economy and believe that austerity is the answer to everything that we face. I don't happen to agree with that. I think we need to prime the pump.
Okay, thank you. Folks, if you have a question for your representatives and your senator, please press *3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with Preston, who has a question about gas tax.
Hi there. My name is Preston Watkins. I sent a question for all three if you have time. The gas tax, are you in favor or not? And if you could tell me why or why not you're in favor of the gas tax, and do you want to use it or not?
The state representative, John McCoy. And right now, a funding package for transportation is being put on put together now. And within the next week, it'll be presented to all the caucuses. And so everything is on the table, tolling, gas tax, and there's been some suggestion about a mileage process, but we have not settled on any one thing. My guess is that we're going to have a complementary mix of type of things to be able to put people back to work on road projects. There's a lot of maintenance that need to be accomplished. There's some bridges that need fixing. There's potholes to fill. And so consequently, we're going to have to find a package that works for everybody so that we're not leaning on any one segment of society to accomplish this.
Okay, great. Thanks. We have a lot of you on the line right now. It's very exciting, and so please be patient with us. There's a lot of you wanting to ask a question. So, yeah, if you want to ask a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with Donna, who has a question about Boeing. Donna?
Yes, my question is, the state has given Boeing many tax rebates and other enhanced financial rewards. Yet we are losing 100 jobs in the flight school from Renton to Miami. Did not the legislature put some kind of restrictions on Boeing keeping jobs here in this state when they gave them all this money? Thank you.
This is Representative Sells, and I tend to agree with you that if we're going to do tax exemptions, particularly in the future, they're going to have some restrictions, and we've done that on a small one here just recently that says essentially if you're going to leave the state, you're going to pay the money back, or otherwise you need to stay here and provide the kind of family wage jobs that we expect of you. The Boeing tax break is old. It has been productive in the sense of providing jobs, but I still have the same concern. It seems like we constantly get held hostage from the corporations around those exemptions, and there are some good reasons to do exemptions, but we need to have a sunset process to look at them every so often.
Thank you very much. If you have a question for your lawmakers, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with Sharon, who has a question about shouldering the budget. Sharon?
Yes. My question is, the little people are taking a big bite out of this budget thing, okay, especially our seniors. You're taking a lot of stuff away from the seniors who can't afford it at all. They're on a mere budget themselves. And I feel that if our government will take a wage cut to show example that they are for the little people, it would do a lot in morale. Okay, like 5%, even 5%, saying, hey, from mayor all the way up to the president, we're going to take a wage cut to show that we are sincere and trying to get back on course.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you for your call and your question and you know, passionately expressing your concerns. This is Senator Harper. I agree with you that we have a system that disproportionately impacts low and middle income families and, like you illustrated with seniors, families that are on fixed incomes. The problem is that our tax code is set up to do just that, being largely a consumption-based tax system. It disproportionately impacts people who earn less money. We've seen several different proposals come forward over the last couple of years on the ballot in 2010, an income tax proposal that would have been targeted at our highest earners, the top 2.5% of our state's income earners, and the voters overwhelmingly turned that option down. We've come forward here in Olympia on a couple occasions now with a capital gains tax that would impact about 1.5% of Washingtonians, that top income earners, 1.5%, and we haven't gotten traction on that proposal either to try to shift some of these costs so that we can provide those services in a sustainable way that, as you indicated, aren't just borne on the backs of the people who we're providing them for. So there's many of us down here doing that work, but it's going to require a lot more citizen engagement and support.
I would add, this is Representative Sells, that if you take a look at what has happened with employment in the state, it has been severely cut back. There have been cuts in actual salary, I think it was 3% the last biennium that people have taken. Public employment is down quite a way. So there have been those kinds of sacrifices, over $10 billion cut out of the state budget over the last 3 years.
Thank you very much. Folks, if you have a question for your lawmakers, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with Christy, who has a question about teacher jobs and that we need school funding. Hi, Christy. Hello?
Who?
Christy? Hello, Christy. Can you hear us? Or Mark?
Oh, I'm Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark. Yes, I
had
the wrong name.
No, Christy.
So, Mark, what's your question?
My question was about the sequester. Since the sequester, I heard that they're going to pull 100,000 teachers' jobs. So, since education, you know, is to bring up the next generation who are eventually going to be the ones running the country, what is going to be done for education to ensure that our children are well educated, like other countries like China and people like that are going to pass us up if we don't do something?
This is State Representative John McCoy. I happen to be in a meeting with the governor this afternoon discussing education overall and the direction that he would like to see this state go. He and I happen to be in agreement pretty much over all the issues that he brought up and with the group of folks that I was with. And naturally, one of the items was school funding. Next week, he is going to roll out his education funding formula. And again, it's going to be around closing tax incentives. There will be some other options that we'll be looking at for funding. But the funding profile that he's looking to achieve is in the area of $1.5 billion just for education. We have, you know, other issues to take care of, but what he would like to see done is in the $1.5 billion this biennium and out by 2018, according to the McCleary decision. We should have kicked in a total of $4.5 to $5 billion. So we are headed in that direction. All I asked, is if we come out with a funding profile, please don't file initiative and then take it all away from us. That's not going to help us. We're going to pay all due diligence. We don't want any one segment of society shouldering school funding. Thank you.
Thank you. You have questions for your lawmakers, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with George, who has a question about global warming.
Yes, I'm very concerned about global warming and ocean acidification, and I know there's been legislation on the floor to actually ease the definition of alternative energy for utilities, and I'm pretty much against that. I think it ought to be tightened, if anything. And on top of that, I'm curious also why some revolving funds for infrastructure couldn't be set up, which would promote efficiency in buildings, state buildings, and schools that were we're doing, a revolving account would, you know, be able to continue on in the future that way. So I'm just curious about your positions on that.
I'll defer to Representative McCoy here in just a sec because he's been one of our leaders on energy issues. This is Senator Harper. I'll just tell you that we did, in fact, yesterday off the Senate floor, pass both a bill that does go to address the issues of ocean acidification the governor's bill related to climate change to look at all of the things we're doing around clean energy and environmental protection and make sure that we're being as efficient as possible in terms of actually getting at the problem and addressing climate change. With regard to the energy initiative, there were several bills introduced in the Senate to try to, like you said, dismantle Initiative 937, a clean energy initiative. The good news is we fought most of them back. Most of the bills did not come up for a vote, so they are dead this session. One passed, which Representative McCoy may be able to speak to briefly, and also just how he sees the future of the clean energy initiative going forward.
Yes, this is Representative McCoy, and we are doing a lot of work in the area of clean energy. Last biennium, we spent a lot of money in weatherization for schools, commercial buildings, and residential. So a lot of money went into reducing energy costs in that way, and we need to continue to do that. We are in discussion about adjusting the building codes. By law, they have to be adjusted in 2 years. We're not looking to accelerate it, but we're looking at how the building code should look in 2 to 3 years. And as for energy production, we're doing a lot of work in alternative energies because we're getting to the point where Bonneville Power cannot supply all the power that we need. Therefore, we need to go to alternative energy sources, and we're working on solar, a lot of wind. We'll be having discussion on storage, plus more conservation. We have to have a long conversation on conservation. And how do we account for that, and how do we give credit for it?
Thanks for your question, George.
Thank you. Please press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your representatives and your senator. And we're going with Sabrina, who has a question about cuts in the military and higher education. Sabrina?
Hi, my name is Sabrina Farrell. And the question I'm very concerned about is, what other cuts are we making to our military, being a very concerned individual who's, of course, my father served 22 years in the military, and I see a lot of the stuff on the news and in news articles about our military and about all the cuts and, like, how some are even having to buy their own stuff. So what other cuts are we making towards our military?
This State Representative John McCoy. The concerns that you're bringing up about working with the troops in order making sure that they have their own supplies, that's actually a federal question, not a state question. But having said that, we do have a lot of National Guard troops that are doing active duty now. Now, the state is responsible to ensure those troops have all the equipment they need. And I believe Washington State's done everything it can to fully fund our combat National Guardsmen and women that have been deployed overseas. So we feel that we've taken care of the state portion of that funding for those, and then it's up to the Fed to do their job. Now, one of the things that passed off the House floor yesterday, I authored two pieces of legislation that when our soldiers leave service, that they get credit for their experience and training to get licensure in the career field that they served in, and they can also get college credits for all those classes that they took. And so that accelerates their being able to get a degree or get back to work once they transition from the military to civilian life.
Okay, thank you very much. Folks, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now, and we're going with a poll. Here's the question. Do you support new revenue to fund education following the Supreme Court order? If you do support new revenue to fund education, please press 1. If you do not support new revenue for education, please press 2. And since we're talking about education, we're going with Kathy, who has a question about school testing and how funding connects to that. Kathy?
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm a high school teacher in Everett, and this week my students have really tried their hardest to pass our new HISPE test. Used to be WAFL, now it's High School Proficiency Exam. We've spent 3 days testing this week, and you know, I'm really proud of my students. But my concern is we keep moving that target for them. And I know that the Common Core standards are coming in 2014-15. There's going to be yet a new different test. So I'm just wondering how you feel about the benefits and the costs of this. Thanks.
Again, this is State Representative John McCoy. I've been here in the legislature for 11 years, and every year I'm the one that drops the bill to reduce the assessment test. I think they're excessive. We're not getting the accountability that we think we do. And that takes a, you're correct, it takes a lot of money. OSPI has told me that it is around $48 million a year to perform these tests. And we're not getting the results that we want. We still have a bill that's alive, although it doesn't get rid of all of them. It does get rid of a couple, and there's, I hope, not as onerous as the others that we're trying to get rid of. But the fact remains is that these tests should be community-based because, you know, every community in the state of Washington basically speaks a little bit different language. You get kids that live in and around Boeing, they tend to speak a lot like engineers. You get out in eastern Washington, those school districts kind of talk like agriculture folks. But yet we write a test that's supposed to fit everybody, but it doesn't. So we're working hard to correct that situation.
This is Representative Sells, and I've signed on to Representative McCoy's bill. He's correct. One size does not fit all. The issue of school testing, I think the studies are coming out, and they're saying these standardized tests aren't getting us where we want to go. And, of course, testing makes the most sense. And I think we're creating a lot of angst and wasting a lot of money on standardized tests.
Thank you very much. Folks, if you have a question for your representatives and your senator, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And remember, we have a poll going. If you support new revenue to fund education, please press 1. And if you do not support new revenue for education, please press 2. And we're going with Jen, who has a question about working families. Jen?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'm concerned about... Well, I keep hearing about there's some bills over in the Senate that are really bad for working people, like something about lowering wages. And I'm concerned because it's a really bad time in our economy to be cutting people's wages. And I just want to know, is that true? And what's going to happen with these bills?
Hey, thank you for your call, Jen. This is Senator Harper, and you're absolutely right. There was a whole slurry of bills introduced in the Senate that I don't think you could describe as anything other than an assault on working families. I think the context is important to know that in November, two members of the Democratic caucus, my caucus, basically left the party, joined with the 23 Republicans, and have taken control of the Senate. So the Senate is being ran by a Republican majority. And while they indicated that their mission this session was to address the economy and to fund our schools, the first bills that they introduced and began work on were reducing restrictions or protections for injured workers, reduced the minimum wage, repealed things like the Family Medical Leave Act here in Washington that provides critical support to families, and several bills that previous callers prior to you have raised regarding degrading our environmental protections. So what I can tell you is that most of the worst bills did not move, and based on the fact that we are now past our policy cutoff, are dead for this session, and I believe that both my colleagues here, Representative Sells and McCoy, can assure you that the House will do everything in their power to ensure that the few bills that did get through, in particular around reducing the minimum wage, and removing some of the sick leave protections that cities like Seattle have enacted, will not be enacted this year and will not be signed by our governor. So thank you for your question. Thanks for paying attention. These are really, really serious issues that will have dramatic impacts on working families in Washington, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that they don't move forward.
All right, thanks. Folks, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And if you haven't yet responded to our poll, this is your last chance. If you support new revenue to fund education, please press 1. And if you do not support new revenue for education, please press 2. And now we're going to go with Lori, who is talking about education.
Hi. My question really is for Representative Sells and McCoy. I'm a retired educator and looking at the McCleary situation and also what the Senate is doing at this time, real concerns. One of the things I have been doing has been doing some substituting, and today I substituted at Quilicita Tulalip Elementary School, and the teachers there really feel under attack by what has happened in the Senate and say, hey, let's move on and get the funding straightened out and get things going. What can we do about that?
Hey, Lori, I'm gonna hand over to my representatives like you requested, but this is Senator Harper, and I just want to make sure to state for the record that I voted a very loud and emphatic no on all of those bills that moved out of the Senate, which teachers rightly so viewed as attacks on them as professionals and on our schools. So thanks for your call. I'll let the representatives respond.
Thank you.
Yes, so this is Representative McCoy. And you're right. You are under attack. And it's got me very dismayed. We're starting to receive reports in that basically if we just let you teachers leave you alone, let you teach, and fund you at the levels that we should be funding as per the McCleary decision, you guys do great work. And so that's what I'm going to do. Work hard to ensure that you have a safe, healthy environment so that you could teach our kids what they need to know to lead this country in the future.
Today in the Labor Committee, Chair, I've received a bill from the Senate attacking teachers' health care. We've had a bill attacking teachers' pensions. We've had them go after just about everything they could think they could go after. And that's not the way we support education. It's been a real sideshow, and they need to be concentrating on funding.
Great. Thank you very much. And folks, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. We closed the poll, and so let me give you the results. 57% of you do support new revenue for funding education, and 43% don't. So that's how you guys voted in the district. And let's go with Richard, who has a question about job skills and apprenticeships. Richard?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Please ask your question.
Okay, here we go. I'm 65 years of age, and I came up with an idea, jobs. And what I had an idea, a lot of people are on unemployment, which, you know, have all the job skills and the training from prior employment from their employer. What if unemployment paid 50% of the wage and a manufacturer only paid 50% of the wage? The manufacturer would be happy about hiring that person, and unemployment for the state would save a lot of money.
Well, actually, we do have a shared work program in this state where somebody can go to work. Usually it's part-time, and the and get part-time unemployment, which is sort of fits that particular bill to do that. So there is some of that going on at this point in time.
Thank you very much. And folks, again, a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. We're going with Paul, who has a question about coal trains and how to make our state less attractive for this project. Paul?
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I understand that the overall global view of what the coal trains traveling through our state represent as far as shipping our jobs overseas to China for cheap manufacturing, as well as the release of carbon and the global warming epidemic. I'm just wondering if there might be any mechanism that the state government could utilize to either A, make our state that much less attractive for shipping through it vis-a-vis some kind of a tariff on tonnage for that type of material, or B, get some money back to lessen the impacts on the communities along the railroad that are affected by the trains coming through with our streets and at-grade crossings that take up to an hour and a half, as in Marysville, to recover from one of these extremely long coal trains lumbering through.
This is Representative Sells, and I can respond to some of it. The train traffic is interstate commerce, and so we don't have any ability to really to lay out any extra taxation to them. I have had discussions with BNSF around issues in the Marysville area and the at-grade crossings, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of willingness on their part yet to kick anything in. However, the Department of Transportation is working with the city of Marysville to look at some of the overpasses and find different ways for on and off on I-5, and we're working on funding to do that.
And that's Representative McCoy. The environmental reviews for that project are not completed yet. There's a number of things that need to be addressed, like coal dust, and Mike mentioned the at-grade crossings, and a number of other issues that need to be addressed, and those haven't been answered yet. The timing of your question is quite interesting because the proponents of this project are actually coming to my office next week to inform me where they think the whole project's at. Right now, if I was to take a poll, I do believe that it would be opposition to the coal train. So until they can get done with that environmental review, there's technically and legally not much we can do until we find out what the results of that is.
Great. Thank you very much. So we have around 16 minutes left of this call. If you have a question, please be sure to press star 3 on your phone right now so you can get it in. And we're going with John, who has a question about the DREAM Act. John?
Hello, this is John Peterson. I have a concern. Currently, funding is not available for Washington State citizens for higher education. However, the House just recently passed illegal funding, you know, funding for illegals. Why would that be when the funds are not available for citizens of the state? That's one major issue. Two other little things that may or may not be pertinent. This has got to do with the power grid. Currently, 20% of the wind power generators are not in operation because the grid cannot handle the extra power, and that is a problem that you can build all the generators in the world if you can't get the power from the generator onto the grid. It's ridiculous.
Let's stay, Representative John McCoy. Okay, your first question is regarding the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act, the physical note on that was zero because we're not, there was no additional funding. It was just allowing access for exiting high school students that have been in our school systems for more than 3 years. And this country has always been about inclusion. So all it's doing is allowing access. They still have to get through the wickets just like everybody else does in order to get access to the state need grant. So that's where that's at. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything else, doesn't put them at the head of the line, doesn't insert them in the middle or anything. They have to compete just like everybody else. So that is where that's at.
Many of these young people have been here through no fault of their own, and they're probably as Americanized as all of the kids in the schools. As they have been here, their families have been working. They have been paying taxes into the system just like everybody else, and they're going to be citizens fairly soon. We feel it's good to make sure that they're good, educated citizens.
And I'll just finish up, or perhaps there's other comments, but this is Senator Harper. Over 10 years ago, this state, in a bipartisan way, enabled these very same young people to receive eligibility for our in-state tuition. So they've been going to our universities and benefiting from higher education for over a decade, and I think Democrats and Republicans both agreed on that. Last night, you're right, the House did pass this bill, also making them eligible for our state need grant, and that bill passed with 77 votes. Over two-thirds of the state House, both Republicans and Democrats, supported and embraced this change. I think it's the right thing for Washington, and it's the right thing for our kids.
And for the second part of your question about the wind generation, those generators are not down because the grid cannot take their power. They're down for maintenance. And so all the windmills are functioning when they're supposed to be functioning, if they're mechanically able. That's one of the things that we have to continually watch, especially in the spring, early spring, and late fall, when we have more wind than we normally do, and we have more rain. And so there's the balancing act between wind, hydro, and balancing those out so that we get as much production out of those facilities as we can. So consequently, that's why we're going to have conversations around storage. We have to address storage and other things like that to balance the power on the grid.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you very much. Folks, we have around 13 minutes left. Please press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your representatives and your senator. And we're going with Daniel, who has a question about creating jobs and keeping them in the state. Daniel?
Hi. My name is Daniel, and my question is actually two parts, one about creating jobs and keeping jobs in the state, and the other about the rising cost of college tuition. First of all, I'm a student about 20 years old, and I've been trying to go into college, but as the rate for college keeps increasing and increasing, it's been harder and harder to pay into the college in order to go. And the jobs here, there's not enough jobs for untrained or low-trained individuals that can't afford to get trained because we can't afford to go to school. So what are we doing to increase the jobs in order to enable our younger students to get education and go forward with education? because as more financial aid is available for colleges, a lot of that financial aid is going towards for-profit and private schools in the state of Washington and not towards public education.
Well, actually, most of it at this point is going to public education. Some does go to for-profit, and there's been some discussion of actually cutting that off at this particular point in time. We do create jobs around a budget. If we fund education, that's jobs. That's jobs for educators and the people that work in schools. If we fund a capital budget and a transportation budget, that's thousands of jobs for people who work in the building trades. And those jobs, in turn, return revenue to the economy and to the state. The question becomes, how much revenue do you have that you can use to create jobs? And that's the issue with the McCleary decision and everything else. And as a result, higher education has taken some substantial cuts over the years. And rather than lose programs, it's been offset by vastly increasing tuition. This has happened all over the United States. I think it's unfortunate. It's sort of like eating your seed corn, and I think we'd all prefer to keep it down. The question becomes, do we cut the programs, or do we allow tuitions to rise to be able to try to keep the programs going and see if we can't provide more loans and grants and aid?
And I think the last point, this is Senator Harper, is we are trying to invest more resources into worker retraining. You know, the data suggests that after this recession, even when we've started to see dips in unemployment, a lot of those people that are getting back to work are getting back to work in underemployed situations where they're making 15 or as much as 20% less than they were previously being paid. So looking at our community colleges, our technical colleges, and seeing what certification type courses there are available to reverse that trend, I think is something we're looking at and something I encourage folks to look at as well.
I would add that the community colleges are looking at greater targeting around those areas where jobs are available and moving people as much as possible in that direction.
Great. Thank you very much. We have 8 minutes left. So, folks, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your phone right now. And we're going with Ben, who has a question about workers' comp. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Your question?
Yeah. Concerning the workman's comp.
Sure. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Yeah. I was wondering from all three if they could comment on this. You know, they were talking about revamping the workman's comp situation here in Washington, and I just wonder why it I know the Republicans are behind it mostly, but there are a few Democrats too, and I just don't understand that. This state has one of the highest per capita incomes in the country, and the workman's comp situation here is working well. And why anybody needs to change it, I'd like to know. And just wondering who, if any of these three, supported it. And where are we with that? I don't know. Haven't been able to keep up with it, what's happened, and what the status is. So feel free to comment, all three of you, please. Thank you.
This is Representative Sells, and I chair the Labor and Workforce Development Committee in the House. And when you asked that question about whether all three of you support it, heads were shaking no all across this table. No, we do not. We've done $1.5 billion in rate savings over the last couple of years with what we've passed, and we need to see how those things are working before we make any more changes in workers' compensation. It's doing fine. It's always can use help. And we can always try to make things a little bit more perfect, but at this point in time, we don't need to be making any changes in workers' compensation.
I'll chime in, too. This is Senator Harper. You asked why there's an effort here to continue to reform the system, and I'll tell you, simply put, the reason why is there's a number of people down here who I think wrongly believe that the public should shoulder more of the burden of supporting our injured workers. Right now, we have a very viable insurance system like you described and Representative Sells described that requires investment and that is sustainable and financially solvent. The reforms largely that are being put forward would shift some of that long-term financial burden from the private sector and the insurance system that's currently set up onto the public in terms of long-term care for people who won't have those benefits afforded to them. So, yeah, I think it's important that we keep our values in place and we make sure that those that are injured on the job receive the support and resources they need.
And this is Representative McCoy. I oppose all that stuff that's bubbling over there at the Senate. Representative Sells has done an excellent job over the years on stabilizing the workers' comp system to where it's been rated in the top three across the United States of the best worker comp. Why does business want to rate it? They want the money back so that they can put it in their pockets, pure and simple. That's all it's about. They're not worried about the worker. They just want more profit for themselves. That's it in a nutshell.
All right. Thank you very much. We have very little time left, so we're going to take one last call, and then we're going to have closing remarks. Well, let's just end on a high note. Cassandra has a question about marijuana.
Hi.
Cassandra?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question. Since marijuana has been legalized in somewhat of a way, why can't we sell it in like a tobacco store or in a liquor license store where we can tax that and use those taxes to help the school or the state or any other kind of thing that we need taxes for? That's my question.
This is Representative McCoy. Starting off, all three of us have a little bit to say about this. I personally wasn't thrilled with the idea of this passing, but it's passed. It's law. And the Law and Justice Committee is working out the details about how these are going to be, how this product is going to be sold. And yes, it's going to be taxed. And yes, the majority of that revenue will go towards education, but it also has to go to the administration of this product. And there's a lot of issues that have to be addressed. Just the other day, there was a young person that hit a pedestrian, and he said it was proved he was high on marijuana, the driver was. So we have to put laws in place that address those type issues. You know, we can borrow from the alcohol side and the other areas, but we have to be careful how we do this. Colorado is the other state. So the two states are talking about how to address this issue. Colorado's gone further about how to sell it in stores. But we think we have more work done on the law enforcement side.
All right. Thank you very much. Folks, we have time for just closing remarks now, but I want to thank you for joining us tonight. There were close to 9,500 of you on the line, so we really appreciate that. And if you didn't get a chance to ask your question, please do stay on the line because you'll be able to leave a message for your 38 district legislators at the conclusion of this town hall. Thank you for joining us. And now, closing remarks by your lawmakers.
Sure. This is Senator Harper. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate all the questions. And please feel free to contact our offices if you have additional questions or weren't able to ask your questions tonight. I'll just close by saying that we still have a lot of challenges ahead of us. Most notably is the McCleary decision and making sure that we are fully funding our K-12 education obligations, but I think equally importantly is funding all of our education obligations from the time a child's born until they're career ready, whether that's a high school diploma, career technical or community college, or a four-year degree or beyond. I think it's our responsibility as a state this year to try to help put some of the money back in the middle income families' pockets that we've had to take over the past 4 years as this recession has battered us all, in ways like increasing slots for preschool so more families are able to put their kids into state-subsidized preschool, increasing funding for all-day kindergarten so more families are able to take advantage of that, and most importantly, reducing our tuition at our public universities. More and more low- and middle-income kids are being priced out of four-year degrees, and that's just not a responsible direction for our state to go. So look forward to hearing from you all in the future, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much for joining us. This is Representative Mike Sells. The key to this session will be what we do across the board in funding education. I think Senator Harper's laid it out pretty well, and we'll see how it comes out in the end. But you can see, even from the polling that we did this evening, that our constituents are somewhat divided on that issue and how we ought to proceed. So it's going to be a tough session and a tough one to get solutions to.
Ms. Rep. McCoy, I want to thank you all for your questions and participating, because all the questions that you asked are being asked by ourselves down here. And how do we get through all these issues fairly and equitably across the board? So we're going to be working hard to make that happen. And thank you again for calling. And like Rep. or Senator Harper said, if you didn't get through to us tonight, please email us, and we'll respond to you from there. Thank you very much, and good night.